Thank you, Mr. Wassner. Well, I'm glad to have that fan up here. It's a warm one today, isn't it? Happy Sabbath, everyone. Welcome back. And welcome to everybody joining us on the webcast today. But I do find Revelations 4 through 11 a powerful reminder of things to come and a reminder of the importance of staying with God until the end of our time on earth, however that comes. But in terms of now, the purpose of this message, for the purpose of this message, I'd like to focus on what we can learn as a church from Revelations chapters 2 and 3. The book of Revelation was written sometime around 96 AD, as we understand it. But it had been close to 100 years since the death and resurrection of Christ, and several Christian churches had sprung up across Minor Asia, or Asia Minor. It's fair to assume that at their start, all of these churches had received the truth from the apostles of Christ. Over the decades, however, as we'll see, most had developed stumbling blocks that were hindering their ability to remain faithful to the word and the work of God. So I'm going to start here in chapter 2, verse 1, to the angel of the Ephesian church, right? And then in verse 2, he says, "I know your works and your labor and your endurance, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you did test those who proclaim themselves to be apostles but are not, and did find them liars. And that you have borne much and have endured, and for my name's sake have labored and have not grown weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works. For if you do not, I will come quickly, I will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent." So this is the first, this is the church of the Ephesians, and apparently they lost their first love. So that's what we learned from this one. Do not lose your first love. They were obviously diligent about identifying those who were not converted and remove them from their congregation, or accused them of such and made them repent. But they forgot why their conversion was so important to begin with. Being a disciple of Christ is not just about obeying God's laws. It's about transformation of the heart and the mind. It's about loving God and loving your neighbor first, as we read in Mark 12, 30 through 31, and Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. Continuing on, let's go to verse 8. "And to the angel of the church of Smyrnians, these things says the first and the last, who has died but is alive. I know your works and your tribulations and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy of those who declare themselves to be Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of the things that you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." So that's lesson number two. Like the Smyrna. They were from Smyrna. There will be times in our Christian lives when we're persecuted for our beliefs, and that can be something as simple as, you know, not getting a job because we have to keep the Sabbath, or something as great as our lives being taken from us because of who we associate with. And we have to be able to remain faithful until the end, and, you know, hopefully none of us will have to go through anything too too difficult, but that's part of our calling, right? And we have to be willing to endure to the end. So the third lesson we read is from Pergamos. So let's continue on in chapter 2, verse 12. "And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, "These things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. I know your works. I know where you dwell, where the throne of Satan is. But you are holding fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days when in which Antipas was my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells." Obviously, they must have lived in a pretty corrupt place, probably like New York City or something. But I have a few of these things against you, But I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Moreover, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Repent, for if you do not repent, I will come to you quickly. I will make war against you with the sword of my mouth. So obviously these people allowed corruption to exist within their congregation. There were people there who were you know, worshiping idols, and they, you know, allowed them to teach and allowed them to continue to do this without rebuking them. So that's the third lesson, is that, you know, we feel like we don't have to worry about that too much here. We feel safe, right? But we always have to remain diligent and make sure that those who we listen to, not just at the podium, but also within the congregation, the conversations we have, make sure people aren't, you know, saying little things, spreading little ideas that might be wrong. I feel like we do have a really good pastor who's good at listening to what's going around and making sure that everything stays kosher, for the lack of a better term. And that's kind of scary that Christ would make war against them with the sword of his mouth. I feel like we could go into a whole other topic with that, but I digress. Lesson number four, continue on, verse 18 of chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, he who has eyes like a flame and fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know your works and love and service and faith and endurance and your works, and the last more than the first. But I have a few things against you because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants into committing fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols." That's the second time that he's mentioned eating things sacrificed to idols. We don't do that, fortunately. "And I gave her time to repent for her fornication, but she did not repent. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, those who commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, unless they repent of their works. And I will kill her children in death, or with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the reins and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works." And he does mention in the next verse, 24, that those who didn't fornicate and do these things, that they would be saved from his wrath. So this is another situation of, you know, somebody being in the church, in the congregation, who's obviously not obeying the laws of God, who isn't converted, doesn't have his Holy Spirit, and is being allowed to corrupt other members of the church. And those things can't be, you know, they have to be dealt with. They can't be allowed to continue to go on. Number six, the Philadelphians. And, oh, did we get five? We didn't do five yet. We didn't do Sardis. Okay, moving on to chapter 3, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works and that you have a name as if you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die. For I have not found your works complete before God." So apparently, I guess they had kept some of the doctrines, and they had done away with some other ones. And they were getting to that point where they were basically just going to wither away and die as a church. So verse 3, "Therefore, remember that you have what you have received and heard, and hold on to this and repent. Now then, if you do not watch, I will come upon you as a thief in the night, and you shall by no means know what hour I will come upon you. So that's the next lesson, is we do have to hold on to everything, hold on to our faith, hold on to our doctrines, stay, you know, hold tight to the truth and continue to grow in it. You know, the underlying lesson in all of these is that I think for the most part, people were getting too complacent. And that'll especially be true with the last one, the Laodiceans. But these things happen over many years. You know, they don't just happen overnight. We don't just decide as a church one day that we're not going to, you know, do this thing. And obviously, there have been situations where that kind of does happen. But I think most of the time, it's something that happens gradually, and it happens because people, as a group, as a congregation, allow it to go on for too long. So that was Sardis. Number six, Philadelphia. And they are in verse 7 of chapter 3. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says the Holy One, the one who is true, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no one has the power to shut it, because you have little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of a synagogue of Satan who proclaim themselves to be Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will cause them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept the word of my patience, and I will keep you from the time of temptation, which is about to come upon the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to that which no one, that no one may take away your crown. We reference the scripture a lot, hold fast that no one may take away your crown. And when we read about this short letter to Philadelphia, we think, oh, that sounds like us, right? They held fast till the end, and that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we want to do. That's the church that we want to be in. We want to be faithful and not corrupted. And I don't just mean the United Church of God as an association. I believe that God's church exists under multiple banners. And clearly, as evidence in these chapters, it has since the time of the apostles, you know. I mean, these are congregations that were kind of, I think, more separated by geography based on where they were. But they were different groups. And that's kind of, you know, when you think about splinter groups of the church, you know, we know that there are God's people in all of these groups. And we all kind of fall under one great church of God, which is everyone who obeys God's laws, keeps his feast days, and who has his Holy Spirit. And that's the key. All right, finally, number seven. Seven is the Laodiceans. So let's jump to verse 14. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginner of creation God. I know your works, that you are neither hot or cold nor hot. I would that you be either cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and are neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarm things are kind of gross for the most part. For you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not understand that you are actually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So, this is, I think, what happens when people have too much stuff and not enough, you know, context, not enough, what's the word I'm looking for? Character, yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, you can't just be materialistic and have things and have wealth, and we find that that's sometimes what happens to people when they have too much money. You know, that doesn't always happen, but material things start to rule your life, and then all of a sudden you become empty inside because you're lacking the growth, the love, you know, the grace, the gratefulness all of those things that are part of the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5, verse 22. So Christ's instruction to the Laodiceans is that they become zealous and repent. I thought it was interesting that he put that in there, and obviously incredibly relevant, that they become zealous, because that's kind of what they're missing, right? They're missing that love for the law. They're missing that first love, a lot like the other church was missing its first love. So these are all things that we have to look out for. To review, 1, do not lose your first love. 2, remain faithful in persecution. If it happens and when it happens to us, we must not lose faith. 3, do not tolerate anyone who practices teachings or teaches pagan things in God's church. And like I said, I think we do a good job of that, but even little things, always beware. 4, do not tolerate fornication in the church, or if anyone is found living in sin, they must repent and stop what they are doing. And this includes something that may happen in private without the knowledge of the congregation. In short, sin must not be tolerated to continue in our lives. 5, we must hold fast to all of God's teachings and find what we are lacking. If we are lacking in something, we must repent and regain what we have lost. 6, stay faithful. God promises to reward us if we do, but remember, we do not obey God in hopes of being rewarded for doing so. We do what is right because it is the right thing to do, because we love God and we love our neighbor and all things that are good. And finally, 7, we cannot become content and fail to grow in spirit and in truth. Remember to thank God for his blessings and then continue to have zeal for his way of life. These are just some things that are good to review as a church. You know, they apply to our personal lives, but also we always should think of ourselves as one body and one group and recognize that there are things that can happen to us and things that we need to look out for as we continue to strive towards the return of Christ. So we now await that return of Christ when the last trumpet will sound and the times of woe have passed. Let us remain faithful and take these lessons to heart, lest we fall into Satan's trap and suffer the fate of those who did not repent. Happy Sabbath.